Hello, yes, I'm back. Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. I was just watching Alex. It's so entertaining. I cannot get enough of watching Alex Jones here on Infowars.com. My God, a few things have transpired since I was last here, and I want to focus first on Hollywood. Hollywood. You know, that wonderful place that gives us the gifts of entertainment. We spend, how much time do you think we spend watching the product that comes out of that town? Think about this. We like to think, we would love to think that sitting down and watching the product, movies, television shows, even advertising to some extent, that comes out of that world. And we would love to think it's there for our entertainment. That's it, right? These amazing people put together these amazing movies and fantasy scenarios, and we get to escape from our drab little lives for a little while, don't we? Isn't it fun? And we spend a hell of a lot of time absorbing what they're putting out. And I don't use that word accidentally. We absorb what they put out. And boy, I might sound like a giant hypocrite with what I'm going to say, because I probably spend more time watching their product than most people I know. I love it. I sit my ass in front of a television set or in front of a movie screen, and I love it. So much fun. But look at the community of people, I use that term loosely, that are putting this stuff together and putting it out there. Every year, I guess, we could look at it that way. We see what degenerates these people are that are putting out the stuff, this product of theirs, that we cannot get enough of. We sit down, eyes and ears open, absorbing everything they're putting out there. And again, entertainment, isn't it? Sure, it's entertaining. But if you don't think that there is some type of agenda that is being thrown into your face on a daily basis from this hive of scum and villainy that is, and I use that from a movie, hive of scum and villainy that is Hollywood, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind if you don't think that this sick, perverse town is pumping out propaganda on a daily basis because they know you are locked into it and can be influenced by it. You're out of your mind. This town for years has been known to be what it is. It's a collection of extremely disturbed people with this sick ideology and this want and need for some reason to deconstruct everything that has made this country great over the course of history. Every institution that we have that has any type of moral value to it has to be destroyed and deconstructed by this town, this Hollywood town. It's been glamorized over the course of probably a century, right? I would guess. Glamorized as a place that, you know, regular people aren't allowed in. You're not allowed in. We watch all their award shows on television. We hear about their personal lives, and we see where they live and where they're entertained. We're not allowed there. This is a private little club, such a small little enclave of these people that have the ability to influence everyone else with their agenda-driven propaganda. And if you look at the history of this, it's been the same for many years. Deconstruct and break down the value system that has made this country great. And there are so many reasons why this would happen. An end game, I guess you'd call it. And I honestly don't know what that end game is. I have some ideas. I think American exceptionalism is one thing. They don't like that. They want a more global society. But I honestly have to believe that there are just some sick people. There are some sick, perverse people that have figured out how to operate in relative safety, in numbers, by giving us something that we somehow cannot live without, this escapism and fantasy. So they all get together. They live these pretty perverse lifestyles. They have a hatred for what has made this country great. And they do things with relative impunity. And of course, I talk about Harvey Weinstein, the latest in this collection of degenerates that has been exposed. And that's it. He's been exposed. This has been going on for decades with this guy. Hollywood knew this was going on. So when you hear all of these people all of a sudden coming out, Kate Beckinsale, I avoided Harvey Weinstein come-ons when I was 17 by saying I had school in the morning. I mean, and this is one story of just literally hundreds that are coming out about Harvey Weinstein. But if you think for a second these stories are coming out because people all of a sudden found out, again, stop. Open your eyes. Open your eyes and ears like you do when you're sucking in that propaganda that they put on movie and TV screens. Open wide, because if you think for a second they didn't know everything that was going on with this guy, you're out of your mind. Our own president, Barack Obama, the last one, not the good one. Barack Obama sent his own daughter to work at the Weinstein Corporation there, the Weinstein Company, knowing you're not going to tell me that the president of the United States did not know that Harvey Weinstein was a complete serial predator and degenerate. Disgusted. Barack and Michelle Obama are disgusted by what they read about Harvey Weinstein. You mean to tell me Hollywood knew, everyone knew, popular culture, their own industry made jokes about it on award shows, on 30 Rock, on Family Guy. It was the scuttlebutt of the town because they're all like this. But you mean to tell me that when the Secret Service went to check out the Weinstein Company, when Obama's daughter was going to work over there, that they never heard a story that this degenerate was serial harassing, sexually harassing women? No, they never knew. Hillary Clinton, again, disgusted, never knew that this was happening. They are all liars. The hypocrisy that comes out of Hollywood it could only rival the hypocrisy that comes out of Washington. And we I don't know why we have this, we give them the benefit of the doubt. We give them any bit of plausible deniability to run with because they are all like that. And everyone in that town knew exactly what was going on. And now they're just running for cover. We'll be back, of course, in a couple of seconds. Don't go anywhere. Hi, everyone. Want to deal with the sickness that is going on in this country. And the focus right now, Hollywood. Hollywood is just a giant tumor on this country. It makes perfect sense that it resides in the sick state of California, by the way, as Alex was talking about just before, the fact that you could go to jail for using an improper, what do they call it? An improper label, pronoun, that's it. Pronoun for LGBT XYZ. You could actually go to jail for that in certain circumstances. Yet, if you give somebody AIDS, if you know that you have AIDS, and then you transmit that through sexual contact, that's fine. California says, "Bah, that's fine." You knowingly exposed others to HIV? Yeah, it's no longer a felony in California to give someone a death sentence. It's no longer a felony. But perish the thought. You say him or her when somebody feels like a her or a him. Oh, boy, that's trouble. It makes perfect sense. Please, please, San Andreas Fault, if you're listening, if the San Andreas Fault is listening, could you please shake, rattle, and roll that state right into the Pacific? Could you do us a favor here? Hollywood is just a glamour central, glitter city, Tinseltown, and it is one of the sickest places on the face of the earth. And if you don't see the fear also, we talk about the sickness, the depravity, the propaganda that is being pumped out of Hollywood. But we rarely talk about the utter and complete fear that it just envelops Hollywood. People are petrified to speak out about what's going on in that town. I guess Rose McGowan, you might have seen her. She was in Charmed. I guess Charmed. She went out for a little while with Marilyn Manson. And she's been in a few things, a few movies from Tarantino, who, by the way, Miramax did his movies, by the way, was run by the Weinsteins at the time. It all comes together. It's the biggest incestuous sick stew that has been on the stove brewing for decades. So Rose McGowan has been tweeting a lot about Weinstein, about Weinstein's cronies, about the this whole thing that goes on in Hollywood with sexual abuse and powerful people perpetrating crimes against other people, using their dreams, I guess, against them. Everyone has a dream of being a star. So Rose McGowan has come out and calling out people like Matt Damon, like Casey and Ben Affleck, who, of course, worked with Weinstein. But again, they never knew. Everyone knew, but no one knew what was going on in Hollywood. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? So now they all come out. They're apologizing left and right, but they're doing it publicly. If you really wanted to apologize for someone, wouldn't you just do it privately? Well, it doesn't help if you do it privately. Yeah, there's, which look, I'm not in Rose McGowan's camp either. She's a tad bit of a hypocrite. You dress like that, and I got to tell you, there's going to be some issues with guys maybe getting the wrong idea. Wrong idea, perhaps. But of course, you'd call me, you know, victim blaming. If you look at a woman out in public like that and go, maybe a guy's going to say something to you that you might not appreciate. But again, that's the sickness that goes on. I really fear for her life. She's calling out a lot of people, a lot of powerful people. Others are petrified to do it. Why? Just because they won't get work? Well, that's probably part of it. But I wouldn't put it past these sick individuals, especially those in very high places in Hollywood, to get rid of people, to literally dispose of people. Twitter figuratively killed off Rose McGowan. I guess they didn't like what she was saying about some powerful people and Ben Affleck. She dropped the F-bomb in one of her tweets about Ben Affleck. And her Twitter account has been frozen. I know what this is like. Twitter, YouTube, a lot of these places just cannot take the truth. They do not like the truth when it reflects poorly on all of the different industries that weave together and the powerful people that run them. Rose McGowan Twitter account locked after post about Weinstein and Affleck and Matt Damon. And then we have another thing. Corey Feldman a couple of years back was talking about Elijah Wood and the Hollywood pedophilia controversy. There's apparently a huge pedophilia problem in Hollywood. And, of course, Corey Feldman, he was teamed up for many years with Corey Haim when they were youngsters in Hollywood. And the stories of pedophilia running rampant in Hollywood. These powerful men, stories of parties, and these young boys just being thrown in to these sick men to have their way with them. And Corey Feldman will not mention names. If you see something like this going on, that literally led to the death of one of his friends, Corey Haim, who had a problem with drug abuse, wound up dying at a very early age. And he has said that it's a direct result of the assaults that happened to him in his youth. But he won't even say who. The who's, what's, and when's, because he's petrified. Think about that. Why would you be that scared? Especially if you're Corey Feldman. It's not like you're missing work. It's not like somebody's not going to give you a gig. You haven't worked in years. But he's scared of something. What is that? These are powerful, dangerous, sick people that run that town. We'll be back in moments. Please stay with us. Welcome back. How are you doing? Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. There's a connection, too, between Hollywood and Washington. Man, do politicians love celebrities, don't they? How many pictures have we seen of politicians with Harvey Weinstein? And they seem to go hand in hand. You watch these award shows, and all you see are celebrities getting up there and giving their political views, which I think I could go out on a limb and say a little left-leaning, just a little left-leaning. We saw Eminem the other day. Oh, my God, was this embarrassing. I'm on Twitter, and I see, Eminem, really? Wow, did he just tear up Donald Trump? Oh, my God, look out. He's back. Shady's back, and he's tearing up Donald Trump. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch this. Right from the get-go, it was so embarrassing. First of all, he's what, mid-40s now? He's like 44 or something like that. And there he is he's in a parking garage with some thuggish dudes behind him and stuff. Like, this might work if you're in your 20s still. It just kind of looks silly at this point that this guy in his mid-40s. It's like when you see guys in their mid-40s like skateboarding. Like, all right, if you enjoy it and everything, that's one thing. That's fine. But don't make that your thing. Don't go out into public and make it your thing, because you're kind of going to look silly. So when you get Eminem up there and he's spitting some rhymes, yo, it comes off looking very silly. And the whole gist of this thing was how awful and terrible Donald Trump is. He's the bravery of Eminem to come out against Donald Trump at a time like this. It could be the hackiest thing people do in the entertainment industry now is to do any material about Donald Trump. I personally don't get it. Whether you like or don't like Donald Trump's policies, whether you think he's not that smart or not a good speaker or anything, you could have all these opinions about him. But I've yet to get a rational answer from anyone on the left what he's done so wrong and what his motivations are for becoming the president. and doing the job of the president. Because I see this. I see a man who got very wealthy and successful utilizing the opportunities that are given everyone in this country. Did he have a father that gave him money? I know that's a big issue. Sure. Do some people start out with a little more than others on their road to success? Indeed, they do. That's part of the freedoms of this country. Not everyone starts out the same. Not everyone ends up the same. Some people use more skill than luck. With others, it's the other way around. That's the amazing thing about this country, is that there is the possibility for anyone to do well. You're not just born and thrust into a rice paddy soldering together iPhones, knowing that that's going to be your life. And wherever you are, that's what you're going to continue doing till you drop dead. No, we have the opportunity in this country to do great things. And all I see in our president, Donald Trump, is the want to give that opportunity to everybody. Of course, he's called racist all the time. And I ask, and I want a rational answer, but I can never get it. What has he done that shows what a racist he is? For some reason, for 35, 40 years in the public eye, was never called a racist. I mean, this guy's been on TV. He's been a contractor, a builder for decades. No one ever called him a racist. All of a sudden, he's a racist. And of course, Eminem slams Trump and calls him a racist. He's a sexist. Oh, he's sexist. It's terrible. He's a man who enjoys the company of pretty women. You know what that makes him? A man. That makes him a man. Or what a man used to be, I believe. You're not even allowed to do that anymore. But the accusations that I see from the left coming out about Donald Trump, they never have a rational discussion with me about why he's labeled these things. Did he say some inappropriate stuff? Sure. If you look at what men talk about as inappropriate stuff, because that's all he was doing. Anyone that says different, again, is lying. Many men talk this way about women and their sexploits over the years. Guys will discuss things like that. But I see a president in Donald Trump that just wants to make things better for this country. And he is. He's doing just that. But the left can't take it. So the likes of Eminem and a lot of these actors and actresses that are crying. I've seen genuine tears come out of people's eyes when they just talk about Donald Trump. I was watching a clip the other day. It was hilarious. I guess it was some Antifa people. And some gentleman from InfoWars was questioning some of these people. Asking about Donald Trump and what these people were even protesting. A woman ran away from the microphone, from this gentleman's inquiry, in tears. And I'm just laughing my ass off at this point, because that really epitomizes what they're all about. They give you no answers. You cannot get a straight answer. Yeah, this is so, look at this girl right here. Look at the one in the back. She's already choking up. And she runs off crying. It's astounding. But that epitomizes what we see when the left is addressing politics and Donald Trump and what they want. They scream about impeachment. We see Maxine Waters constantly now screaming about impeachment. This woman is out of her mind. Out of her mind. And she's screaming about impeachment when there's nothing that indicates that this president can legally be impeached. Yet it's her mantra now. It's her battle cry. that we need to impeach Donald Trump. And then again, you ask these people why, for what? And they have no reason whatsoever aside from my feels. My emos are hurt. And then you dig a little deeper. Well, can you give me an example? Wah! And they run off in tears. You have to laugh. You have to laugh. I'm wondering if after a few more years, I'll start actually feeling sorry for them. We're almost at a year, people. We are almost at the 1 year mark where we recall the first real tears of the left in the Javits Center when Hillary Rodham Clinton did not show up to console her people after the election. I can't believe it's almost been a year. Next month, the beginning of next month is a year. And the tears have not stopped. It's been a year-long cry fest. You ever see a child having a temper tantrum in a store? They don't want to be there with mommy or something, and they cry. Imagine that kid kicking and screaming and crying on the floor for a year. And it's not going to end. We're going to see this temper tantrum for at least 3 more years, perhaps even longer, I hope. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. I am very skeptical. I'm just a natural-born skeptic. I'm from that, what is that, Occam's razor? Is that what they call it? If something seems like this is what happened, that's probably what happened. I'm kind of one of those guys. It's very tough to convince me that something is different than what obviously could have happened. I do not feel this way about the Las Vegas shooting. Something is amiss with this entire story. Of course, we know Stephen Paddock. There it is, Occam's Razor. Yeah, it's just it's whatever the obvious explanation is pretty much what it is. Another way of saying that, the more assumptions you have to make, the more unlikely an explanation is. And I believe in this. I think I adhere to this more than not. But again, this situation in Las Vegas is bizarre. I don't know why more people aren't talking about this. And I honestly think when you have something like we do with social media these days, you would think that the ability to exchange ideas and evidence and explanations would make us look into these things more, question more things. But for some reason, our ability to concentrate on any one thing for any longer than maybe a few days has screwed us up. We're on to the next thing. Well, I'm kind of hanging out on this one because nothing makes sense. There are so many loose ends with this story. Of course, the official story is that Stephen Paddock went up into his room and started shooting out the window at a concert, killed a bunch of people, wounded a bunch of others, shot himself. End of story. Nothing is making sense on this one. The timeline is now different. He supposedly shot a security guard after he shot a bunch of the concert goers. And that tipped off the police, who then came in, breached the door. He had killed himself. That's the story. Well, now they're saying that Stephen Paddock shot the security guard before he unloaded on the crowd. How do you make that mistake? And how does that go unexplained or unresolved for days and days on end? All of a sudden the story changes and is completely different. How is it that Stephen Paddock's house gets broken into the other day? Someone broke into his house through the front door. They don't know who. They didn't catch anyone. They got no leads. It completely contaminates his house. And you might think, well, the FBI obviously searched his house. Well, hypothetically, what if another piece of evidence leads them to need to look a little closer inside this guy's house? All of a sudden, anything you find or don't find is possibly tainted. How did that happen and why? There are so many loose ends to this story. Reports of multiple gunmen. Sound analysis of the shots that imply that there were multiple gunmen. Why so many guns in the room? And the biggest thing, I've been to Las Vegas. I've been to Atlantic City. I've been to other places where there are casinos. Could possibly be the most surveilled places on the face of the earth. There is, I have yet to see one frame of this guy. I've seen maybe two pictures. One where he looks pretty goofy, and another one where he's in a bar, I think. But these were pictures that people took of him. I've yet to see one frame of surveillance footage of this gentleman. Yet, in 2001, we saw the next day after 9/11, we saw Mohammed Atta going through security at Logan Airport. And in 2017, at a casino, I have yet to see one frame of this guy. Again, I don't know what that means, but it sure means something. I don't understand why we're not getting more information from the police, from the FBI. Who is this guy? What was the motivation? Why does he have this Philippines connection? We don't hear any more about the money he sent. We hear this insanity from his brother. And all of it just gets swept away. And then we're all, you know, hashtag Harvey Weinstein. And hashtag Vegas shooting gets thrown in the bin with Coney 2012. We really need people like Alex Jones and InfoWars to stick to this story and try to get some kind of answers. It's not making sense. I'm certain we've seen instances of actual lunatics for no reason than they're insane that have gone and murdered people and taken their own life or what have you. This does not look like that. There's way too much going on here that we're not getting an explanation for. You know, the things we know and don't know, what happened in the 6 minutes after the hotel security guard was shot? Well, the police have their theory, but it doesn't jibe with other timelines of the shooting. Why weren't there the number of shell casings there should have been? Why did this guy take his life apparently before the police were even alerted to where he was? Was he the only one in the room? How did he get all those guns up? Why take so many guns? He didn't use every gun. Why have so many guns in that room? Was he supposed to meet somebody or some other a group of people? Was it an arms deal gone bad? Did he get converted to something, all right, Islam, over the course of some of his travels? His airplane at a government site. Like, none of this is your run-of-the-mill, if I could say that, shooting by just some lunatic. They actually checked his brain out, too. Isn't that sick? They cut him open, you know. They checked his brain out. And apparently nothing in there that indicated he had any medical problems that would have led him to just snap and do that. So, again, I strongly suggest we we pay attention to this and keep tabs on what is and sometimes more importantly, what isn't being said by law enforcement to the people. And when you see something pop up like the Weinstein thing that distracts us, don't be so distracted. Keep your eyes and ears open all the time. Anthony Cumia, you can catch me on CompoundMedia.com, the Artie Lang and Anthony Cumia show on Compound Media, Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. Sorry, Houston. Go Yankees. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.